Father, we glorify your name again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we worship and we adore you, Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Worthy to be praised, Lord. Father, thank you for loving us with an everlasting love. Lord, O God, having loved us, you are loving us to the very end. You ever live to make intercession for us. Lord, we praise and we glorify thy name, Lord. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this new week. Thank you for the past week, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, as we read the scripture this morning, Lord, the entrance thereof always gives light. We are taught and we believe that your word, O Lord God, is a light unto our feet, lamp unto our feet, and light unto our path, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So live a blessing as you always do as we read the scripture this morning. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So I was just meditating during the week, and I was saying, Lord, you know, we are praying for revival as we ought to be praying for. What is it, Lord, over and above our prayer that we can do about revival? Yeah, we are praying. What else can we do, Lord? Then the Lord dropped just one single word in my soul. He said, compassion. Praise the Lord. So this morning, compassion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So one of the greatest blessings or revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ brought to the world was how to exercise compassion one for another. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. One of the greatest revelations, thank God for the miracles. And you will see that the miracles he performed, all of them are based upon compassion. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, and we know before the Lord came and so forth, that, you know, there was the law of Moses that presented the grace that the Lord brought to us, right? And we know the law by its nature is exacting in its demands. We all know that. And he was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, really, you know. So even any kind of a law is exacting in their demands, you know. So it is the nature of law to be very exacting, any kind of a law at all, you know. And and the law of Moses was no exception. But the Lord Jesus Christ undertook to reveal the Father heart of God to the world. Amen? Yes. He undertook when he came to reveal the Father heart of God to all the people of the world, if they will have an open heart themselves, to understand what the Lord Jesus has brought to the world. So, and the greatest movement in the soul of God, so to say, if God has, you know, so to say, I say, no, soul of God, is it? Was that movement of compassion for a needy world. That is the great movement of the soul of God, so to say, so for the needy, compassion for the needy world. So great a compassion, even his word says this in John 3:16, which we all know, say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So great a compassion in the heart of the Father God, even for the whole world, you know. He didn't hate the people of the world. What he hated is their sin. Praise the Lord. That's what he did. But he loved the world. He loved the people. He loved his creation. So, and so we know that God is not careless about this world, as many are inclined to think sometimes, you know. God is not careless about this world. It's his creation. God is even wonderful. He's gracious. He's merciful. Bible says that the Lord is rich in mercy. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says about him, and we believe that, and we say so in Jesus' name. Again, the scripture says in John 3:17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But Satan blinded their eyes. They think God is our enemy, you know. That is the father of lies, you know. So even Christ to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, and we can begin to see now the compassion of the Lord throughout the scripture, throughout his ministry. Everything he did was on compassion. One time, the Lord had compassion on the hungry great multitude. And he said this. Imagine the great crusade we used to have here, where you have hundreds of people, thousands of people that you know, and so on. And they were with the Lord for 3 whole days. I will read this in a moment, you know. After he was with them, taught them a word. All kind of miracles took place. I read them now. Upon it all, he still fed all of them. Think of like all the crusade, which are not the Darula crusade, think about all the great crusades, imagine all those multitude of people, and no crowd has ever followed any preacher compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He do the greatest of all crowds. Let's go to read one of them, the compassion of the Lord. So, so when multitudes follow him to the wilderness, he healed all kinds of diseases among them. At the end of the third day, the Bible says, upon the... It's in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, 30, where I'm going to begin from. So now, at the end of the third day, upon all the miracles the Lord performed among the people, he did not send them away, having nothing to eat at all. Why? The Lord understood men's humanity. Amen? He does, and he does, and he did. He understood the fact that they were hungry, and his heart was moved with compassion for them. Matthew 15, verse 30, I want to read the story very quickly. So, compassion. Just one single word. And a great multitude came unto him, having with them those that were lame, those that were blind, dumb, lame, and many others, and cast them down on Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Bible says, in so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the lame to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorify the God of Israel. Then Jesus called on his disciples unto him and said, here I am going. I have compassion on the multitude. See, upon all the miracles, see great compassion. I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. I have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. The Lord has a set of humility. And his disciples said unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness, and to feed so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave it to his disciples and his disciples to the multitude. As they did all eat, and they did all eat rather, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent them, and he sent the multitude away, and took ship, and came into the coast of the Magdala. See? So, compassion. Compassion making to heal them in the first place, giving them the word of God. And he said, even though you are going to spiritual food of healing and deliverance, but I still have compassion. Why should you go, hungry? Multitude, great, what they call great multitudes, And he fed them all. See, compassion. This morning. So now, the Lord Jesus taught the word compassion. So that's why I don't want to read these stories that brought back the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like I just read that one. So he taught the word compassion. Men might have compassion on the lovable when they are good and so on, they are lovable and so on. And even the beautiful, they can have compassion on those people, right? But the Lord taught the world to have compassion on the unholy and even on the ignorant. Amen? When people are lovable, you can have compassion on them. Or when they are beautiful, you can have compassion on them. But the Lord Jesus taught that we should have compassion. Now, I see that mentioned compassion, just blast, compassion upon the unholy and upon the ignorant. Such was his compassion on the woman taking adultery. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go read the story now. John chapter 8. I read a couple of them. Compassion. Talking about revival. Hey, this is one of the ingredients of revival. All through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, So John 8 verse 3. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded the nature of law, right? It's very exacting and in the demand, right? Nature of Lord. The Lord brought grace. Praise God. See? So, and they said, that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And the Bible says that this they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground and thought he had, as though he had them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. See, compassion. Bible says one place, Bible says, should the Lord mark iniquity, we shall be able to stand, amen. So even the priests, they are scribes, right? They think they were holy, they think they were righteous, right? So the Bible says, each of you, any of you that has no sin at all, cast the first stone at her, you know. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I believe the story, or whatever it was happening, I believe that was writing the sin of each of them on the ground. Praise God. You know, and they can read it and so on. See what's for the right there. And they which had it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman are standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those that accuse us? Has no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Praise the Lord. See, compassion, compassion. Not only on the beautiful, not only on the so-called holy, even on the unholy, even on the ignorant, you know, that to have compassion on all. Praise God. That is the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that he brought to us. Yeah, the law, was a schoolmaster, is gone. So he had brought in, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Praise the Lord Jesus. You must walk in his footsteps. If you want to have this revival, this is one of the ingredients of revival. You know, compassion. You can be in the shoe of the afflicted, amen. You can begin to feel in your spirit what you are feeling. Praise God. We will see more of this now in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Compassion reaches further than the law, further than the demands of judges. It does. Compassion reaches to the heart of life, to the secret of our very being. Compassion does. The compassion of the Lord Jesus was the divine secret that made him lovable. That's right. Religious people are even people who are religious and say they are holy. They are very exacting, really. Even your so-called religious people are very exacting, really. Like the law itself and so on, that, you know, they are. So, and good people too are exacting. We know that. But good folks should learn this lesson to exercise compassion just as others do, amen? No matter how good you think you are, learn to have compassion on others. That is the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his work, by his deeds, by his miracles. We can see his compassion everywhere. So to this end, the Lord taught compassion in the case of his disciples and the Samaritans. Disciples were up there, on the mountain top, literally talking and so on. Praise God, you know. Let's see their story right now. Compassion upon all in Luke chapter 9. So the disciples of the Lord are the Samaritans. I read this little story here. Verse 51 says, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he's finishing his ministry now. He's going to go to the cross, and from there, he rose from the dead, and then he ascended to heaven. That time was near to go to Jerusalem, right? So that's what he's saying here, he's talking about here. So to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and set messenger before his face, and he went. And then enter into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now, here are the disciples. Now, the disciples, they loved the Lord. That's right. They were his dominion to heal the sick. They were ministering to the sick. Yeah, they were doing all those kind of things. They were endeavoring to alleviate the suffering of the world through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. But still, they counted the refusal of the law by the Samaritans a great insult. That is humanly speaking. And that's true, it's an insult, right? A great insult. So overpowering that in verse, and they said this in verse 54, I believe it is. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, we doubt that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elijah did. See? Even when the disciples are doing that, where is the compassion, you know? And so on. In verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is come, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Praise God. What a great lesson of compassion. Can you imagine that the Lord taught? Humanly speaking, even the Lord, you know, they insulted the Lord, right? The great creator, they may not know him of the whole world. He didn't complain, you know, so what a great example for us all. What do you do? What do I do? When people reject you, we have all suffered rejection, one time or the other. What do you do when you are rejected? What do you do? What do I do? Praise the Lord. Let's learn from the Lord, you know. So what do you do when you are rejected? You know, notwithstanding your good intentions. What do you do when you are rejected? Do you permit your heart to be broken? I've had people say, oh, that broke my heart, you know, because you are rejected. We have all suffered that kind of thing right now, but that's the right way to go. Or do you plot a course of vengeance? Because you are rejected, let's learn from the master, amen? No. Simply, you just move on, amen? Praise God.
Amen.
That's what the Lord did. Just move to the next city. Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah, we couldn't go here. They don't receive me here alive. I can go to the other city. That the Lord taught a great example. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's follow it. We said, so they went another way. Don't let your heart be broken because you are rejected, you know, or passing plotting a cause of vengeance. Vengeance is mine, the Bible says. So, how easy it is for us to feel the righteousness of the issue rather than compassion. That is the human nature, right? The righteousness of the issue rather than the compassion of the Son of God. And let us learn from the Lord. There is no limit to the compassion of the Lord Jesus. Amen? There is no limit to the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And we should follow his example. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. All over, whatever he did, the sole purpose of it is compassion. Let's see another instance. The Lord had compassion. There were sitting by the way, two blind men in Matthew 20, verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside. When they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord. They were calling him Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude, who have no compassion at all, see? They don't have any. You have your own two sides, right? The people have been blind, can't even see. Now they see that there's a way for them to be made whole, right? And see what they have, they rebuke them. And the multitude rebuke them because they should hold their peace. But they cry the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what will ye that I should do unto you? They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Look at the next verse. So Jesus had compassion on them. Amen?
Amen.
Compassion. That's what compassion. Want to work miracles for the Lord? Then let compassion grip your soul. Amen?
Amen.
Want the revival? I can only call it because of revival. Not to come and just show the Lord can do miracles. That's not the real reason. It is the compassion. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So the real explanation, people have been wondering, why does he do miracles? This is the real reason. The real explanation of the Lord saving men out of their sins and sicknesses is the love of his soul. That divine compassion of God and his desire to help men out of their sorrows and to bring them to God. To that divine compassion of God and his desire to help men out of their sorrows and bring them to God is the reason. In most cases, when he heard them like that, by compassion, he will follow him. In many cases, praise God.
Amen.
I will show one example really quickly right now. Anyway, so the Lord showed compassion Even on the very cross, the Lord showed compassion. Praise God. See? The Lord's example on the cross is set forever as the very acme, or perfectness, the very soul of the compassion of God. After the Roman soldiers had pierced his arms and feet, with his last breath, he prayed to God in Luke 23:34. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Amen?
Amen.
The compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, "Father, forgive them, for they know what they do." When a man is able to look upon his own murderer, think about it, and speak such words as the Lord spoke on the cross, surely it shows that he speaks beyond that which the human heart is capable of giving. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And he's speaking only that which the soul of God can give. Praise God.
Amen.
And he can expect the same compassion through you and I. When we understand compassion, praise God.
Amen.
He lives in you, lives in me. It's waiting for you and I to be submissive. He can expect the same compassion. I believe the disciples, they learn that great lesson on the Samaritans. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, so the same thing we do in our life. As we wait for the Bible and so on, we are praying for the Lord. One of the very, very crucial things we must have is compassion. Be in the shoe of those people, and see how it feels. And then your soul will reach on out. So, how long should we endure? I'm asking myself a question. How long should we endure the misunderstanding of friends without rebuff? Amen? Yeah, you remember misunderstood. They misunderstood Jesus, right? So how long can you stand, such misunderstanding, even of friends, close to you and so on, without rebuff, without, being angry and things like that? How long can you do it? Let's learn from the Lord. If we consider these things, we see that the Lord endure all the way. Amen?
Amen.
Taught us endurance. Unto the very end, right, even on the cross, and also even the very end, as I read on the cross, Father, forgive them, he said. He was triumphant, that's why those things are so. The ignorant may crucify you and trample over the loveless things you have of your soul as they bruise the Lord's soul. They did it, and so on. So they may do that to you, and so on. The ignorant, because they are doing that because, say, Father, forgive them, right? Don't even know what they are doing. So the ignorant may bruise your soul too, as they do. Is the servant above his master? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So they do it to you also. If we know these things, oh my, how we are going to have greater peace in our life. As more so what people do to us. Even those who love you, So anyway, but you will be triumphant also as you follow his footsteps. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Wait. So enduring compassion. So, in the divine fullness of the heart of God, in Christ, is the revelation of divine conception that alone endures. See, I want to say that again. In the divine fullness of the heart of God, in Christ, is the revelation of a divine conception that alone endures, even unto death, and through which the nature and the love of God is revealed to a dying world. See? God's compassion to a dying world. So the Lord used the beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan, when he was trying to give us a balance in this life of God, this attribute of God, compassion. So the Lord gives it in a parable. That's about the parable. I want to read it out now. The Good Samaritan in Luke 10. So compassion, very, very important. We just need it, It is behind even the love of God. It's the attribute of God, and we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. In Luke 10:30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, the Lord gave me a parable now to show compassion, and some of that, And by chance, there came down a certain priest. Notice that person is a priest, right? That way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, the Bible says, the Lord said, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Praise the Lord. He had compassion on him. See? And the Lord teaching compassion by this parable here and so on. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he even stayed overnight. On the compassion, made to stay overnight, while he was going on his own journey, stay overnight and so on. He took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, I'm not even done yet. Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Praise the Lord. See? So, one will expect a compassion of a priest. Can you imagine a priest? Even a priest has no compassion. No type of the church and so on, you know. They don't have a compassion. You are a priest. Just pass by. What priest are you, you know? Even the Levite, the holy of the people, had no compassion, whatever. You know? He took a Samaritan. And what is to the Jew, a Samaritan is like a dog. Praise God. That's right. They have nothing in common at all. You know, in John chapter 4, in that story and so on, you know. They don't have any dealings together. Not the Jew and the Samaritan. So the Levite came, no compassion. Even the priest came, no compassion. But he took a Samaritan, whom the Jews regard as dogs. You know, they don't have any dealings together and so on, to do all these things. So the poor Samaritan, a dog in the mind of the Jew. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So, well, we don't often see the manner in which we continually want the Lord's soul through our lack of holy compassion. Well, we have some, but we need more of it. Praise God. That's how we are going to have Christ, we won't have compassion, but we need more of it. Praise God. That's what I'm going to say this morning, you know, compassion and the importance of it, you know. So, now, how about another compassion that the Lord showed? So, the widow of Nain. So the Lord's compassion was again illustrated when he broke up a funeral procession, you know. See, what compassion we do? Compassion made the Lord to break up a funeral procession one day as he passed through the little city of Nain. That is in Luke chapter 7. And I want to read that one from verse 11. Just reading this wonderful word of the Lord, showing what compassion will do to us, how it will quicken, you know, and the Lord will, you know, pour this revival upon us. It's for the afflicted, for the, you know, to set the captives free. Amen. Praise the Lord. The compassion will do it. Luke 7:11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and most people of the city went with him. Now, verse 13, what the Lord said. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, that's right. He had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. See, compassion will comfort, amen. See, weep not, you know. And he came and touched the bier. And they that bear him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was there sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen, but more than a great prophet, we know that, up among all, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. See? So when the Lord looked at the procession, broke loose in his soul. As we learn this thing and know the importance of it and give our heart to it and so on, when you see that something broke loose in the Lord's heart and so on, he was moved with compassion as he saw the dead boy's mother, a widow grieving over her son. And he saw what took place there. So, one time in Mark chapter 1, at the beginning of the ministry, there was a leper verse 40 of Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and leaning down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. That leper knew that the Lord can heal him, amen? If only the Lord will be willing, you know. So he knew the Lord can heal him and so on. Well, we have had Christians say that, because they are not taught in the word, right? I don't know if it's God's will and so on, that, you know. Well, that leper, I didn't know. He was sincere, right? He didn't know. So, I can't pray that prayer now, no? If you will heal me, I'll be deceiving myself, right? I know he's willing to heal me, amen? In fact, we were healed already. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's just by the way. Anyway, so the Lord said, look at verse 41. And Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand, you know, and touched him, and said unto him, I will be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. See? Move with compassion. Praise the Lord. In every situation. How can we do it differently? We can't. We have to do it the way that he did it. Amen? Compassion, compassion, compassion. Now, one time, the Lord crossed the lake to the land of the Gadarenes, just because of one soul who was bound. Amen? Praise God. This man lived in the tombs. They are bound with all kinds of physical chains. You just break it apart and so on. The Lord knew where he was. Cross the lake one day and so on to go and set him free. In Mark, I believe it is Mark chapter 5. So the madman of Gadara, they call him and so on. So the madman of the Gadarenes wanted to follow. So anyway, the Lord went there. You know the story. I don't want to read your story. And the Lord set him free and so on. And usually many of them, when they deliver, they want to go and, you know, and follow the Lord. But what I want to say is in verse 19, you know. So the man went to follow the Lord. That's what the Lord told the man in verse 19. So, how be it? Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friend. Go and testify. Go and testify to your friend. Just go and testify about what you have found. Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Now watch this. And has had compassion on thee. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Praise God. Go and tell your friend, go and testify. And see how, you know, the Lord has had compassion on thee, you know. So, let's get one more. And then I'm going to be closing here. It's going to be a long service. Now, the sorrow of others moves the Lord so and touch his heart all the time. It can't have four people suffering around him, you know. So there came a time when his friend Lazarus was dead in John chapter 11. I won't read many verses there, but just want to paraphrase them. So, Lazarus, his friend, died. And 4 days later, the Lord went to him, as we all know in John 11, right? And hearing that the Lord was approaching the village, Martha, of course we know one of the sisters of Lazarus, came to meet the Lord, saying, that is in John verse 21, 11, 21, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother would not have died, you know. So the Lord encouraged her, always encourage compassion, always encouraging the people. The Lord encouraged her, saying, thy brother shall live again. Praise the Lord. Thy brother shall rise again. And of course, Martha said unto him, I know, there has been taught that the resurrection, right? I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. They were taught all those things, right? But the Lord said unto the Lord told her and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believing like this, the Lord is teaching many, many things right there in that verse. First of all, you know that when it's gone, there are those who will sleep in Christ, they will live again, amen. And there will be those who will never die because the Lord will come, right? And they will never die, go in the rapture. Praise the Lord. That's a great lesson that is teaching there. Yes. If they have died right now, that they will rise again. And there will be some who, at my coming, I will see their life and they will go in the rapture, those will never die. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, what a lesson the Lord is. So, the other sister, of course, Mary and so on, fell at his feet in verse 32, saying the same thing. They were saying the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, you know. So, As you all know in the story, the Lord stood by the grave of his friend and he wept. The Bible says, compassion stirred his soul. And he said in verse 41 of John 11, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Only compassion can do that kind of thing. Praise God. Been there for all day. It's a great friend that I found out, you know. The Lord permitted it. They told him 4 days before. He didn't even make a move. See? That he might show. See? That the glory of God. The glory of the Father. So this morning, in a nutshell, compassion as well. Praise, you know, believing God. A great outpouring that will sweep the bright out of this place. And the mighty move of God that we are talked about by all the prophets. And we know it's in this generation. And we put this in our heart. It's to help the people. First of all, quicken the people of God, you know. Revive them and so on and that, you know. To help the unfortunate and so on and that, you know. The oppressed and so on and that, you know. So again, I want to put this sentence here. The real explanation of the Lord saving men out of their sins and sicknesses is the love of his soul. That divine compassion of God and his desire to help men out of their sorrows and to bring them to God. Even in John chapter 5, that man was paralyzed for 38 years. The Lord did the same thing. You know, like a different man of Gadara. Just for one man. So he called out the lake there and so on. He picked him up. Take off your bed. Oh, I've been here for 38 years. Nobody to stir the water up for me when the angel moved the water. Nobody to put me in there. Will thou be made whole? Just take your garment. He took his bed. When the Lord said next time, he was sent to the temple. Many of them, they followed the Lord and so on. So let us know compassion of the Lord. For the church to succeed in doing that which God proposes we should do, it can only be when we enter into that divine compassion of the Son of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. May the Lord grant that the church understand this truth. Amen? Amen. And commit ourselves to that. It shall be given us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All you do, you taught us by example. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You taught us by example. Lord, we thank you. How can we do it differently, Lord? And you that believeth in me, the work that I do, shall they do? And greater works than this shall they do, Lord. So we thank you for opening our eyes this morning to the truth of compassion. When we see the maimed, when we see the blind, when we see the unfortunate, Lord, let your compassion break loose in our hearts, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In this last day, a revival as never before. How can there be a greater one that we see the bread out of here? Lord, our eyes are upon the Lord. So as we go this morning, we pray for the church universal. We pray for ourselves that Lord, compassion of the Lord will continue to grip our heart and for the church as a whole. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. God bless you, bro. Praise the Lord. Let's just, at this time,